Name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So on Tuesday, we celebrate the exaltation of the precious and life-giving cross. And I know that many of you will not be able to come for the feast, so I thought today that I would speak about the cross. And in a sense, the issue of the cross is obviously very, very exalted and very, very profound, and it's a mystery. And mysteries are difficult to penetrate. However, in very practical terms, our Lord gave us said to us many things that are important that we must understand, and they are very simple. In Matthew, the Gospel of St. Matthew, he says that the Lord loveth the Father, he that loveth the father or the mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth the son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. So here we have this very clear statement that in order to be worthy of the love of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ and then salvation, we have to take up our cross. And again in Matthew later on, he says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profit? For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So again, it's very clear that the importance of taking up our cross. And again, in the Gospel of St. Mark, it says, and Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross, and follow me. And then again, in St. Paul's epistles, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. And it's very fascinating, I think, and we can read these passages, you know, and just pass right by important things. But the first part of this statement, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. Now, St. Paul was probably the most highly educated of all the apostles by far. And he says this curious thing, to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words. And I think this is really a key, because a lot of us think that that we're saved, as it were, by what we believe. And namely, we have certain doctrines that we keep, which is very important, and the church emphasizes doctrines continuously, and that, you know, it's important to know the doctrines of the church and know what they mean. But the question is, is that the essence of the path to salvation? And obviously it's necessary. It defines the context in which we live and think and feel and worship. But nevertheless, we're not going to be saved by the wisdom of words, but we're going to be saved by the cross. And that means we have to take up our cross, and we need to bear it. And there are many, many other teachings that I printed out here today. It would take too long to go through them. But another one is in Galatians. But God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And again, it goes on. And so St. Paul actually has really interesting teachings on the cross. And so here is a teaching from Philemon. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Namely, we need to have the mind of Christ. Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. That's very, very interesting. And I think what it implies is that, well, we can never be equal to God. On the one hand, there is a concept called deification, namely that even as Christ was perfect God and perfect man, and he came down as man and was crucified and raised from the dead, he took our humanity with him, and that is those who believe and take up their cross, and united us to God. He says, but man himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming down in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And there's another longer passage which I'll read and then move on. So he says, human wisdom cannot grasp this and robs the cross of its essential content. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign, the Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. For to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God stronger than. So this is the context. Now, the question is, we have to apply this to our own lives, right? And what's fascinating about it is it's really very simple. The doctrines are very exalted, but the application is really simple. So when we, you know, when we confess our sins, and we have, in the past during COVID, we were using the general confession quite a bit. It has a list of sins. And it's very interesting. So idle talking is a sin. And why? Because idle talking always leads to things that involve criticism and weighing our opinion against another's and exalting ourselves and diminishing others. We know this. And idle talking has its dangers. So what does this have to do with the cross? We must bear the cross and resist idle talking. And that is the cross, if we resist sin. And then judging others is one of the other sins in this long list. And so to bear the cross, to take the cross of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, is really very, very simple. We have to stop judging and criticizing others. And maybe it's a good idea for us to criticize and judge ourselves in the spirit of God's love and grace. But to stop judging is to bear the cross of Christ. Take up our cross. Our stubbornness, we have sometimes it's just this irrational, inexplicable stubbornness. We resist things that are important. We resist things that someone else wants us to do that we should do in humility. We resist. We're stubborn. We resist saying our prayers. We're stubborn. And so to bear the cross now is to take up this cross of resisting and overcoming our stubbornness. And to be obedient, as it were, to our prayers and to the faith that God has given us and to the wonderful life-saving disciplines. Now, just isn't this amazing? The theology of the cross is so profoundly exalted when we hear it from the Holy Scriptures, from St. Paul and from our Savior himself. And yet its application is very straightforward and very simple. And I think this is why he says it's not wisdom. It's not the wisdom of the Greeks and the Jews that's going to save you. And this is a very big error, actually. It's rampant in Protestantism and in Roman Catholicism. It's this whole idea that, you know, if you have the proper doctrine, you're united to God. You have these certain beliefs. You know, if you believe that Jesus is Lord, that's it. You're united to God, and it's almost a pit ticket to do whatever you want from that time on. Well, I'm a disciple of Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Well, the thing is, if we believe in Jesus, we must believe in his salvation through the cross, and we must apply it. So the next on the list is pride. Yes, pride. Do we have pride? Yes, we do. Now, there's a good pride, in a sense. There's a pride that in which we thank God, you know, that he has given us gifts to serve others and to beautify his world and so on. But as soon as we start exalting ourselves and we look at the things that God has allowed us to do to bring about goodness in the world, and we start patting ourselves on the chest and on the back, and we think, oh, we're just so terrific. And you know, all these other people that around us, I mean, they just don't get it at all, you know, and it's us. We've got it. And the thing is, you know, we can say this, and I see people smiling, and I hear a few cackling, but at any rate, but it's true. It's absolutely true. We have this pride. And the thing is how is pride, you know, overcome? And it's overcome by the cross, by giving credit to God who sanctified us and gave us the path of salvation. And hard-heartedness, are there times when we, you know, someone comes to us and it's kind of like a burden or they're a distraction or it's something they need and, you know, maybe we should give it to them, but we're, you know, a little hesitant. And this hardness comes to us, hardness of heart, and we have no sympathy. And we're cold, and we're dismissive, and it's again, we have to fight this passion of hardness of heart, and that's taking up our cross, bearing the cross of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And then there's anger. It's so easy to get a flash of anger when someone's doing something that we disapprove of, or somehow doesn't fit our sense of propriety, you know, and we get angry, and we, you know, we can, it's in our hearts, and sometimes we express our anger in criticism and condemnation, and maybe we express it only in our own minds, but nevertheless, we are reacting in a way that is against the faith of our Lord and God and Savior. It's against the whole concept of taking up our cross. And so, and maybe we even, in these circumstances, fall into slander. We say, you know, we think them. We just have these little flashes of, you know, condemning thoughts about others and how they, you know, don't meet our specifications in any way. And there's this kind of slander. We think of them that way, and we might even say to someone, did you see so-and-so? Did you see what they did? And to take up the cross is to renounce slander. We have to renounce all these things. Inattention. That's a subtle one, you know. Are we inattentive? I mean, do we pay attention? And, of course, in the divine services, it's really powerful to really turn our minds and hearts and open our hearts and to see spiritually and to feel the love of God that sheds forth, the light of Christ. I mean, look at the sun shining right now. Isn't it unbelievable? And here in our holy church, the sun shines in these most remarkable ways. And it's here. It's something without a doubt. I mean, it's absolutely an image of holiness, and it brings life out of the dirt. You can have dirt, and if the sun shines on it, and you get a little water, you know, you'll have life come forth. And so and the sun, the physical sun, you know, raises up our dispositions and so on. And heals us, but it is the light of Christ that does so. And we need to be attentive in the divine services, because we are in the midst of, as the physical sun is shining, even though we can't see it with our physical eyes, the Spirit of God, which is light, the light of Christ, is shining intensely into our hearts and minds to illumine us. And to encourage us and to lift us up out of any depression we may have or other various sins that we've been talking about. And so, even though the list is very long, I'm just going to read one more. So, negligence concerning my salvation. Do we say our prayers? I mean, do we try in the morning and the evening to say our prayers? And could we pick up the Jesus prayer in idle times and say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me. Lord Jesus Christ. Do we do these things? Because we need to always be aware of the love and the salvation and the life-giving salvation that our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ has given to us, because he took up his cross and conquered all the passions. And he did that for us. And what that means is, if we unite ourselves to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ through all his love and kindness and his holy mysteries, we will be strengthened in such a way that we will be able to, within our hearts and minds, take up the cross and to follow him. So, brothers and sisters in Christ our God, as we approach the feast of the exaltation of the precious and life-giving cross, which is a great, great mystery filled with power and grace, let us find very practical ways to take up our cross and to follow him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.